All power and glory go to God. All greatness is from God. When a hero stumbles, well, the cowards rejoice. Nothing feels better to a coward than to watch a brave guy fall.
Magician got a story that's behind his tricks, and every GM got a story that's behind his picks. And when you listen, pay attention to the details. You can hear the ocean when you listen to the seashells. A newborn taught me wisdom that college couldn't, and college taught me how to talk more because I wouldn't. Words are sharper, they can reshape your disposition. Give out love and don't worry about your acquisitions. Too worried about the conference that you clinching, but your team is too much for you to carry in your own division. Palms is itching, about to run into some money next. Lord made me slow it down, cause I was surely missing steps. Euro stepping to my goals. Man, New Ginobili, can't nobody hold me. I need change like a gentrified neighborhood, but money ain't the only thing that can keep me straight for good. Bread alone is only good for the physical. Better make sure your soul's attached to your backbone. Verses for your vertebrae, chapters for your shoulder blades, books for my mental state, and letters on my dinner plate. You consume by what you consume, and the fumes from social media can mess up your cool. Clickbait on the internet can ruin your food. But depression ain't hashtag mood. I wanna see the moon when I stare up at the constellations to connect the dots. Vision very clear, make moves, connect the plots, and return all the earnings to my family. Prayers for my health and for my sanity.
Yo, 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 we back again. Let's argue with Prince Carlton on KRSM 98.9. What's good, said Linus?
Yo, what's good, man? What's good? How you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Got my coffee, man. You know what I mean? Got my donuts. You know what I mean? You work out this morning?
Nah, I ain't work out this morning. It's too early.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I got one in yesterday, though, so that's good.
That's what's up, man. So we got an amazing episode for everybody today. We got King Randall in the building. You know what I mean? We got a dope interview with him. He's a 21-year-old out of Georgia, right?
Out of
Georgia. And he got the X4 Boys school.
Well, I actually, X4 Boys is a nonprofit. The Life Preparatory School is what it's going to be. The school is called.
Right.
We'll get into that further on or whatever.
This guy been everywhere.
Yeah, he's been everywhere.
He's been on Roland Martin.
Dr. Boyce Watkins show.
Dr. Boyce Watkins. He was on Owen. Man, he's been everywhere. And he even been, I saw the other day, he was followed by Rihanna. Like, Rihanna followed him on IG.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then go ahead.
Yeah, but he's doing some great things, some really great things with the youth, and I think we should all get behind him. But listen to the interview, you know, and tell us how you feel about it.
And we talk about that infamous Roland Martin interview.
Infamous.
And we ask him about it and take a listen and see what he thinks. We got that coming up later on. So we got this. This is March. Since it's March, we got the greatest rapper brackets. You know what I mean? I know we're a little late, but we got the greatest rapper brackets. You know what I mean? We started that. And I'm going to tell y'all who we got going against each other. Tupac versus Ice Cube.
I think that's a foul first.
I ain't putting no ratings, nothing like that.
Well, anybody could lose in that.
LL versus J. Cole.
You want me to say who I picked through all these? Tupac over Ice Cube, LL over J. Cole.
Nas versus Lil Wayne.
Nas over Lil Wayne.
Let me ask you something. I think Lil Wayne gonna get Nas when you know what I mean? When everybody start voting. I think he could
potentially, depending on the age. I mean, let's not be look, Lil Wayne is like the greatest rapper of all time to everybody like 25 and under.
Okay, so we got Andre 3000 against Eminem.
Andre.
Okay. You say Andre. Do you think Andre gonna pull it out?
With that demographic.
Okay.
I don't know.
We got Big Pun versus Drake.
Big Pun better than Drake, but I doubt he wins that.
Okay. Biggie versus Kendrick Lamar. That's the one I'm really excited about.
Listen, man. Ain't no way Kendrick getting big.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, I don't know how the voting's going to turn out, but I'm just saying in real life.
Rakim versus KRS-One.
That was the one I almost backed out of the whole tournament.
And then we got Snoop Dogg versus Jay-Z. Let me ask you a question. If I was to take Snoop Dogg out of there and put somebody else versus Jay-Z, who would it be? Who would you have put there?
To take Snoop Dogg, I think Snoop Dogg.
Because Snoop Dogg was
perfect to have in there. Yeah. But are you looking for somebody else from the West or what?
No, just anybody else. If you could take Snoop Dogg out, because I'm sitting here, I'm thinking like, okay, I need to have some young heads in there. You know, we need to have some young heads in there. You know what I mean? To make it fun for everybody. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, you could have had T.I. in there. You could have had Big Daddy Kane in there. You know what I'm saying? Could have had Lauryn Hill in there.
Right.
You could have had. You could have had. You could have had a lot of people, man. You know what I'm saying?
I think Jay-Z versus Snoop. That's an easy runaway for Jay-Z.
You talking about in terms of rapping, or you talking about in terms of voting?
Voting.
I won't say it was easy. I'm gonna say it would be easy, but I
can't wait to be. Hopefully, is Biggie versus Jay-Z. You know what I mean? I can't wait to see the Jay-Z versus Biggie. You know what I mean? Hopefully that happens. I mean, Kendrick Lamar might sneak it out. All right, anyway, let's talk about some stuff. Lil Nas X.
You want to get into that right now?
Nah, man, we got to get into that. Lil Nas X. Okay, so what we got going... Lil Nas X dropped a video. And what's the name of the... the name of the video?
I think it's Montero or something.
Montero. Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, Montero, Call Me By Your Name. And I never listened to the song or anything like that, but that's what it is.
Okay,
and there's a video that accompanies the song.
Okay, so is it Montero or Call Me By Your Name? Or is it
Montero and then in quotations or whatever, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, so anyway, I haven't watched the full video either. You know what I mean? But I seen clips. You know what I mean? I heard that he was in heaven or something like that, and he fell down to hell, you know what I mean, on a stripper pole, and then he's like giving the devil a lap dance. Is he doing stuff with the devil?
From what I saw, it looked like that he was doing something with the devil that appeared to be in a sexual manner, but with clothes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so
that's from the clip I saw.
Okay, so then we see that he has a shoe. Is the Satan? What, the Satan shoe?
No. Is that shoe real? Is that shoe real, or is that just something floating around social media?
What you mean is the shoe real? The shoe was definitely real. 666 pairs of the shoe is, I guess, MSCHF and Little Nas. They're coming out with the Satan shoe. It's a Nike Air Max 97. Contains 60 cc ink and one drop of human blood. 666 pairs, individually numbered. $1,018, released on March 29th.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get it. What you think about this, man? What you think about the video and the shoes? I want to get your take first.
My take about it is this. If you and we've seen Lil Nas X, you know, he knows that his audience is kids, right?
Right.
If you know your audience is kids and you're doing stuff like this, you got a problem.
No doubt.
And the thing is that I think now we need parents to be parents, and we need parents to watch what their kids are watching and understand what their kids are consuming so they can monitor. Because nowadays there's a lot of things gunning for your kids.
Right.
That you might not even know anything about if you're not paying attention to what's going on in the world.
Right, right, right.
So at this moment, it should be a call to all parents. Don't just go with something because it got a nice jingle to it.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Or it looks a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Anything dealing with your kids, you need to be front and center.
Right.
I'm talking about going to all PTA meetings and everything like that. What's going on with Lil Nas X is he's sending messages to young people.
Yo, somebody, and the thing about it is...
And that's what he's doing.
Yo, and the thing about it is somebody probably put him up to this.
Yeah, somebody probably...
You know, it's some... You know, at the end of the day, it's probably some dude sitting up who owned the label, record label, thought it was a cool idea because he couldn't get this pass without a record label. You feel what I'm saying? So we know a record label probably has something to do with the idea of him doing this. You know what I mean?
But right. But let me tell you. Okay, so he had Old Town Road, right?
Right.
And then they put Billy Ray Cyrus on it, you know what I'm saying, with number one, right?
Yep.
And then he came back with that other song.
What song?
He had a song with Nas.
That wasn't the other song. He came out with another song after that. Then he got a song.
Okay, well I'm talking about the song with Nas.
Okay.
Even in the video, there was still like some like demonic stuff he was playing around with in the video.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Different color eyes and like a, you know, vampire. There's some old like little devilish little stuff he had when he was in the video with Nas.
How you feel about Nas being on the song with him with that type of junk?
From looking at the video, I would put to you like, that's nothing. People gotta be aware of what they getting into and what they around.
Right.
Because you could easily just pull up on a set and they'd be like, okay, you staying here or whatever, and you kick your rap or whatever, and you do that, and you might not know exactly what the video is about.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, it seems like with Lil Nas X, everything he has been doing since Old Town Road has been shock value. I'm trying to get people to look at me.
Right.
I'm
right.
trying to get people to notice me. That's right. Why you look at what he dressed when he wear to the when he go to these different Grammy awards.
Right.
It's like that. All Illuminati patterns he have on his coats and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like everything is just like a look at me type thing. And I just feel like this is what it is. This song ain't about no music. This song is about everybody look at me again. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's
right.
like
I feel like I made a post on social media about this. And I feel like it is a lot of people who share the same sentiment. You know what I mean? They feel the exact same way that I feel. It's like, yo, this junk going too far. You know what I mean? It's going way too far. And then you come out with some Satan shoes after that. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And it's so crazy to me how like some people can say, oh, it's just art. Oh, let him do. Just let him do what he want to do. But they the same people who was talking mess about Kanye West. Why wasn't it just let him do what he want to do when it came to Kanye West?
It ain't just let him do what he want to do when it comes to anybody.
Right, exactly.
Except Lil Nas X.
Yeah, except for Lil Nas X. And somebody, you know? So it is, like you said, man, we got to keep our eye on our kids. We got to be aware of what the kids is watching, what they're listening to, because it's easy for them to go into Lil Nas X. And then this song come on right after that.
Or the video come on right after that.
You feel what I'm saying? We gotta be aware of that type of stuff. And it's like, the way I feel about Lil Nas X, I told my kids, look, if I hear Lil Nas X, I'm ripping the TV down. I ain't even messing with Nike no more. Is you there with Nike? Or you not there?
I haven't worn Nikes in 10 years.
I asked you, is you there? It don't matter.
Bro, I haven't worn. The only reason why I'm asking like that, because it's like somebody be like, yo, I'm boycotting the NFL. Okay, who your favorite NFL team? Oh, I ain't watched football since Gale Sayers. Oh, well, you ain't boycotting nothing.
So
I don't have to boycott Nike because I don't buy any of their products anyway.
Yeah, but
going forward,
that's what I need, because you can still run up the outlets.
Going forward, I don't see myself buying any Nike stuff, but I never saw myself going forward buying any Nike stuff. I'm just dumb. I'm not really cool with that brand.
So if Nike had those Adidas sales that they be having at the outlets, would you go get some Nikes?
They do be having them, and I don't be buying them.
No, they don't. Adidas got the craziest sales out of everybody.
Yeah, but Nike do be having sales like that.
KRSM 98.9.
Hello, listeners. This is Seth Linus from the Let's Argue with Prince Carlton Morning Show. I just want to thank you for listening and supporting our podcast. If you want to support more, you can head over to anchor.fm/letsarguenow/support. And you can give us a monthly contribution of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. Your support will go towards more consistent content and informative interviews in the future. Thank you.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9. We got an amazing episode for you still coming up. We got King Randall in the building. We got a real nice interview with him today. Tell them where to find us at, Sid. You know what I mean? Tell them all our social media.
You know, on Instagram, we got The Morning Show, Let's Argue.
Right.
You can also find a lot of our content. We video a lot of our content, but it's on special.tv/Let's Argue Show. You can find me at Sed Linus, CEDLINUS.
And you can find me at _PrinceCarlton_ on Twitter. So let's talk about voting. You know what I mean? There's a lot of voting stuff going on. And what was it? Georgia, right?
Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah,
Georgia's.
Yeah. Okay, talk to us about that.
So Georgia is a big site for the argument over whether it's voter fraud and everything like that. You know,
one of the battleground states.
One of the battleground states. You know, that's a place where Stacey Abrams was heralded as a hero. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For getting a lot of people out to vote or whatever. So the GOP led state legislature came up with the Election Integrity Act of 2021.
Right.
And it's going to just shut down a lot of the Wild Wild West of voting, I would say. And right, the reason why, right, I say Wild Wild West is because with the pandemic, there were a lot of new things being implemented that I think legally the laws wasn't ready for.
Right, right, right.
Now, people want to make this a racial thing.
Mm.
Now, it could be, or it could be, or maybe it is, maybe it ain't.
Let me take some. Okay. So Angela Stanton put on her Twitter, "Dear Black folk, the Democrats are not upset about SB 202 suppressing your vote. They're upset about SB 202 would restrict the millions of illegal immigrants they're flooding the country with from voting in upcoming elections. This isn't about you. They're using you." You know what I mean? So she's basically saying that this ain't about restricting black people. It's about restricting the illegal immigrants coming in. You know what I mean? And people wanna like frame it as some racism type junk. You feel what I'm saying?
Have y'all right? I'm talking to the listeners now. Have they ever seen the movie Wild Wild Country?
What movie was that?
You know, that's where the cult type place that they went.
Oh, speaking of that, that's so crazy you brought that up. They got a new joint. They got a new joint coming out.
That's like Wild Wild West, or the same people.
Man, it's called Finding Sheila.
Oh, you're right. Sheila was the EM. So remember Sheila,
right,
had the idea of we are going to get all of these people out of the prisons, out of like the homeless shelters or whatever.
Yep.
And they're going to bus everybody to that area and then allow them to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how they will be able to outvote everybody who lived in that small town.
Right, yep.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think what some people are looking at it is like, yo, if you are allowing a lot of non-citizens to be in America or come through the borders of America.
Right.
And then you allow people to vote in America without ID. What that seems like to us that you are banking on people coming into this country.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Illegally.
Right.
Them being able to vote and keep you in office.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Have you ever known a black person who wanted to go get ID but couldn't? When I say black, I mean foundational black American. Like, I'm not an immigrant, not anybody that came from, not anybody in the recent time who came from Africa or family immigrated from Africa.
I'm talking about descendants of slaves.
So
what you mean? They went up to the place and then they just like told them, nah.
No, just, man, I would like to have an ID, but I can't get one.
I would like to have an ID, but man, I can't get one. Did they tell us a reason why?
No, I'm saying.
Right.
So, we're not talking about like a driver's license, which means like you know some people if they like behind on child support or something like that, you get your driver's license taken away. We're talking about just straight up identification.
Yes. Yeah,
so have you ever known a black person?
Listen. Not that I know of. I haven't. Maybe somebody like they had to have some other type of papers that they probably didn't have on them when they went up there. But I mean, it's like I guess if they had those papers, then they would be able to get it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So what I'm saying is there is nothing
nobody has been turned away from being black. You know what I mean? From getting an identification. I'll say that.
Right. Just like when I was about 16 or 17, you know, I didn't know where my birth certificate was at. I didn't know where my social security card was at, lost it or whatever.
Right.
So one day, nowadays you could do it online, but back when I was that age, you had to drive to Richmond and go to Vital Records.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And then go get your stuff. So me and my mom spent the day. We went and got our birth certificates and we got our social security cards, and then I was able to get my license. I mean, a lot of us, we might not know where our birth certificate is at, know where our social security card is at, but we can all get one, right?
Right.
And we're talking about foundational black Americans.
Right.
Non-immigrants. We can all go get one, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, but why are they comparing this bill to Jim Crow?
That's the game.
Joe Biden called this bill Jim Eagle. He said it makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
What the heck?
I don't know what that means. I've been trying to figure it out.
That man that lost his mind. He don't even know what he's talking about. Good gracious, man.
But that's my point. My point is that they want you as black Americans to be outraged when you know for certain that you can go and get an ID whenever you feel like it.
Let me cut you off. Okay, so what explain to me, say what's in this bill, because you know what I mean, you haven't gone on yet, what's in this bill yet.
Okay, so from what I'm reading in this bill, and when you fill out an application for an absentee ballot, you have to it has to show that you have ID through your application. Okay. No, either your driver's license number, state ID number, or a copy of acceptable voter ID.
Right.
Is what it called. And that's through the online portal.
Okay.
So you have to show that you have ID through the online portal.
Right.
In order to receive an absentee ballot.
So what's racist about that?
I have no idea.
What do people just think that we just ain't got our stuff together so much that we just can't even have an ID?
Yo.
That the bar is so low for that.
Yo. Is it racist?
To me, it's racist to think that we can't get an ID. And just like Joe Biden said a long time ago, it's racist. We don't know where to get it. We can't even go on. We couldn't go online.
Yeah.
We couldn't even find online to go get the vaccine.
Right.
They're saying we dumb or something. You know what I mean?
That's the same way I take it. And then they got they also have so now they're not going to have as many drop off ballots, and the ballots are going to be in polling places or like government buildings, and the drop offs are not going to be 24/7. They are going to be during like work hours or whatever.
Right. You know what okay.
I'm
yep.
And then so Roland was like, so what if you at work all day from 8 to 5 and you can't get to the ballot box?
Who said that? Roland Martin.
Yeah.
Of course.
Bro, is that the obstacle we talking about?
Like, come on, man.
Listen, man.
Everybody, they ain't racist.
Okay.
Everybody works.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to vote, you would take the time off of work. Period.
Okay. Well, let me say this. Okay. Let's go here with it. You gotta have an ID to get in the club, right?
Right.
Is that racist?
I mean, not that I know of.
You gotta have an ID to open up a checking account.
I mean,
is maybe, that racist?
I guess it is.
So you gotta have ID to get actually hired somewhere. Not under the table, but above the table. You got to have an ID, right?
Yep.
You got to have an ID to get on plane, which leads us to our next destination. But you have got to have an ID to fly, right?
Exactly. I mean.
So if having an ID is racist to go and vote, then having an ID is racist, period. And if that's the case, then don't try to put this on black people and make us be outraged about it. Everybody should be outraged about it. But the fact of the matter is that this is about another demographic of people, but they know if black people get enraged about something, it can kind of start a movement for it to change.
Right.
And it can make headlines.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Look, man, and what else they got in that? What else they got? They got anything else in
that? That's pretty much it, man. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Counties can have early voting open as long as 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at minimum. So it pretty much is like it's not 24 hours anymore. And they're pretty much just clamping down.
So what is so Jim Crow about this?
Guess they're trying to say that, yo, because Democrats won. It's a narrative. To me, I look at it like it's a narrative. It's a narrative. The narrative that they paint is that black people came out voting in a crazy numbers in Georgia, and so you know you had black candidates win, and you had and now Georgia is now Democrat,
right?
And they've been crediting black people for that win. So when the GOP come with these new rules, they're trying to make it seem like we're infringing on black people voting.
Mm.
But I have not seen in any of these rules yet that makes it look like black people can't go out and vote still with these rules in
place.
Right,
right, exactly. And speaking of ID, New York will officially begin requiring vaccine passports on April 2nd. And we knew this was coming. We talked about this. On our show in April, we talked about vaccine passports. We talked about all this stuff when everybody thought we was conspiracy theorists and all that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we brought that to y'all a long time ago, and I'm gonna say April. That was April. That was that was March. March is when the pandemic happened. We brought you an episode in April called Bill Gates. Go back and listen to it, and I guarantee you can see how accurate we was. New Yorkers will be required to show vaccine passports, proof that they have received the COVID-19 vaccine, in order to re-enter society. The New York Post reported that the Excelsior Pass would officially launch on April 2nd, following an announcement by Governor Cuomo. Okay, similar to a mobile airline boarding pass, individuals will be able to either print out their pass or store it on their smartphones using the Excelsior Pass wallet app, said a press release about the program. Each pass will have a secure QR code, which participating businesses and venues can scan using a companion app to verify proof of COVID-19 negative test results or proof of vaccination. And individual data is kept secure and confidential at all times.
Okay. So what is saying?
But one thing I just did see. It said or negative test, you know, or negative test results,
and that's what I read yesterday because right. I read the whole article on it, and I read that it says vaccine passports for vaccinations or negative tests within like a certain like 4 or 5 days before you like catch right. a flight or something
right,
like that.
Right,
you
know right. what I'm saying? Yeah.
But I don't want to take the test if I ain't got no symptoms.
Man, I ain't taking none of that junk.
Yeah,
I ain't even downloading the app. I ain't downloading it.
No, not me neither.
You know what I mean? You shouldn't be, man. It's like, yo, the thing about it is, we knew the whole playbook. See, this is what I tell people all the time. It's so different when you saw and you heard the playbook before the playbook happened.
Yes.
It's a lot different. You know what I mean? It's a lot different. And we knew about this playbook. Bill Gates said this playbook, and everything that he said is coming to fruition. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, I I can't do it, man. I can't do it. And I actually think this junk is like, I just hope different states, and I got a feeling that like states like Texas and states like Florida won't require this. You know, for the most part.
Yeah.
But I did see that Miami Heat will have a section for people who are
vaccinated.
Yeah, you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And somebody, this young lady put on Twitter, which I'm thinking we might need to hit her up, have her on. I don't.
Okay.
But she said it looks like it's the new like color section and you know what I'm saying, whatever the vaccine section is going to be the new like. We segregation.
Need, that's how we need to play it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Since everything yep. racist these days. Yep. You know what I mean? This is my thing. How come all this stuff that's supposed to be racist nowadays? Okay, and we hear certain statistics that majority of black people would not take this vaccine. Is it racist to say, hey, you got to have a vaccine to come inside this place? If most black people aren't going to take it,
exactly according to what they try to make racism.
Yo, since everything racist these days, that's racism too, right?
That's racism too. if you know black people, a lot of black people don't want to take this vaccine because of the history of vaccines.
Yep.
Towards black people, but you are requiring people be vaccinated to get jobs or go to Heat games or do this or to fly or do all that. That's more racist than anything I ever heard about in the voting bill.
Yo, exactly.
And then the other thing is this. Okay, so you're trying to say that black people can't go and get ID. So if black people can't get ID, then what makes you think black people can go and get a vaccine?
Don't you need to? You need an ID to get a vaccine, right?
You need this, whatever means you need to be able
you can't
to go
just,
get a vaccine.
You can't just walk up in that joint and get
right,
a shot, right?
Right. So if somebody say, oh, my grandma live in the outskirts of or whatever, she can't drive to the DMV. Okay, well she can't drive to go get a vaccine then. both of those take I'm gonna go and do it. That's what it takes for both of them.
See, that's a type of narrative. You know what I mean? That's a narrative that we playing. Okay, let's, how much time we got? Let's get into something.
We got to go to the interview next. Go to the break and then
we got King Randall coming up next. Amazing interview. KRSM 98.9.
We're gonna play some music and then get into the interview. I would like to welcome you back to the morning show, Let's Argue, on KRSM 98.9. And right now, we're going to get into the interview with King Randall. Enjoy.
Yeah, we watched the Roll Lamar and joined the...
Man. I tried to remain cordial and nice with him and stuff, and he kept saying little slick stuff on Twitter.
You can be in the enemy column,
because I tried my best to, you know, try to still keep a... Even though he called me names and stuff, I still tried to keep a, you know,
right, level. Right.
But you want to play games? Man. All right, I can play more games.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we will go ahead and jump right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so So what was your main inspiration behind starting the X for Boys, and how did you even get it started?
Absolutely. Well, I was 19 years old at the time when I started the program, and I started this back in 2019. The beginning of 2019 is when I started. Yes, January 20th is when I started. And the program for me, I started it because I saw a lot of young men in our communities kind of like going to jail, getting killed, et cetera, and I'd go to our different community meetings and I'd ask, you know, and say, hey, we got to get out here with these kids, like really get out here with them. Because right. They're having issues and we don't even have any rehabilitative programs for juveniles coming out of jail, et cetera. So nobody really wanted to do any work. Everybody wanted to hear me talk, but nobody wanted to do any work. So I decided to get up and start my own program. I started taking children on field trips. I started making flyers on my phone. I posted them on Facebook, went to the churches and football practices, and I passed out flyers. And I was like, look, I'm about to do an oil change workshop. I'm about to do a brake change workshop.
Right, right.
Bring the boys out here so I can teach them how to change brakes and oil and stuff, and kind of started from there. And then when I went to the it was the summertime, and I did a summer program. I did it out of my house. I had 20 boys come to my house every day. And I made a flyer and I told parents what I'll be offering for the summer. And I had 20 parents that believed in this 19-year-old kid. They dropped me the kids off every day from 8 to 5. And I taught them how to change toilets, how to change ceiling fans, how to do flooring, sheetrock, painting, growing their own food, how to cook. We was reading, going on field trips, everything. We did all of this, you know, for our first summer. And I'm still so grateful to all those parents who believed in me, you know, to be able to teach their children. And I have some of my kids who are still with me to this day, you know, from that first summer camp that I ever did. And then fast forward to 2020. Mind you, this whole time I had never been really posting what we've been doing on social media. And so somebody was like, bro, you got to start posting what you're doing on social media, et cetera. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So I started posting, and in 2020, COVID happened. I mean, at that time, I was doing a bowling team. We had a book club and stuff going on, and it kind of had to get put on pause because of COVID. So fast forward, parents were asking me, could I still do something for the kids? And I was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, how am I supposed to do something? And like, what do you mean? They were like, can you do something virtual or something? I was like, listen, I don't know. So I was like, if I do something with these kids, I'm like, they got to come live with me. And they was like, that's fine. So I had 6 boys come and live with me. I had bought some bunk beds, put it in my living room, and I made it happen. And, you know, and I was broke at the time, so we was trying to make it happen. We was eating beanie weenies, noodles, and $5 hot and ready's, but we was making it happen. You know, because I still wanted to make sure our children, you know, were still being taught. And that's, you know, developing relationships with them too, because some of our boys, you know, who may not have seen where we come from, all of my OG boys are telling them, like, man, we came from the bottom, you know, we built this school, you know, so that's where we come from. But I did that, and during that summer I posted one of our workshops where we were doing sheetrock, and it went viral on Twitter. And from then on, people started reaching out to us. We got invited to the White House by Donald Trump, surprisingly. But he saw the work that we were doing. And, you know, he invited us. And what's crazy is, like, I have a lot of Trump-supporting people that follow our program. And I preach the same message. And I'm just like, I literally preach the same message, pro-black, we need to do for sale, blah, blah. They just like, yeah, we can support this effort. You know, so I'm just like, all right. I said, well, I'll take reparations that way. We just making it happen. We making it happen. And I have my following is so diverse now, man. Like from then on, we had raised like $10,000 in the first week. And I had been telling the boys 2 years before, where I was like, we're going to open our own school. We're going to have a little big boy faith. And we're going to make it happen. You know, and I was just like, we're going to make it happen. We're going to have a little big boy faith. And we're going to do it. So fast forward, people started donating. Then it comes to this year. We started building shopping. And I was just like, none of these buildings around here don't work. I was like, I don't get it. So somebody was like, did y'all talk to the school system? I was like, God, duh. So I called my superintendent, our school superintendent. I was like, hey, y'all got any old buildings y'all ain't using or nothing like that? And he was like, well, we got 3 buildings up for demolition. You want to come tour one of them? I was like, yeah, let's go do that. So I went and toured one of them. It's in a great condition. I have no idea why they was tearing it down, but it's in the neighborhood where our children need us the most, and one of the most impoverished neighborhoods. You got 11 acres, 36,000 square feet, 25 classrooms, cafeteria, library, the whole nine except for gym. And it's beautiful. And I was just like, let me get that. And so the other two locations that they have, we actually, if they don't tear those locations down within 6 to 12 months, we're going to go after those schools too, so that we can have 3 locations in our city so we can affect more boys. Well, that's kind of our little story, man, from top to bottom. I mean, we got a lot of in between in there. I could go all day and tell all our stories and stuff. But that's an idea of, you know, the Expo Boys and where we come from.
Right. Oh, okay, so how did you – okay, so 19, you knew how to do plant – you what, grow your own – okay, so who taught you all of that stuff? Hey, man, when I was 19, I ain't know how to do none of that stuff, man.
We need to join your school, man, find out how to do some of this stuff.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Yeah, I need to sign up.
Yes, sir. My former stepdad, he's a farming guy. That people don't know that side of me, the cowboy hat and the cowboy boot kid, but you know, he taught me so much, you know, growing up. We built everything from the ground. We built our sheds outside. We built all our dog houses. We built our chicken pens, rabbit pens, everything, little pen we needed, we built it with some wood. We just went and bought wood and we built everything. We made our own washroom outside. We turned our washroom into a bedroom in the house, and we ran some pipes under the house and took it outside, built the shed for that, and put the washroom out there. We put the roofing on it and everything. You know, but we did all of that type of stuff, fishing, mullet fishing, you know, hunting, skinning squirrels and all that goodness. You know, I learned all that growing up. Now, mind you, I didn't understand how important that was until I saw so many kids that couldn't do it. I'm like, y'all don't know how to do this basic stuff. Y'all not changing the ceiling fan, none of that goodness. You know, so I'm just like, I decided to teach those children. And for the things that he didn't teach me how to do, YouTube University teaches you a lot. I learned how to paint houses off YouTube.
Absolutely.
You know, and me and my little brother, we went out and rented us some appliances from one of the park workshops or whatever. And they only charged $40 a day. And we took a little $80 out of our money that we was going to make. And we painted the houses. We painted a whole bunch of houses. And they looked really good just off of YouTube. Even fixing people's cars when I learned how to cut hair. YouTube, all of that. Just YouTube, you know. So people use the internet to your advantage. Absolutely.
See, when I hear you tell your story, man, I think of you as like the embodiment of like the American dream. You know what I'm saying? Because dream is really about having a vision for something and being able to affect change in the people around you. No matter, it don't matter how much help you have around you at the beginning, you just got the ball rolling yourself. You know what I'm saying? Right. And as you get the ball rolling, everybody else can see you with the ball rolling and then come on in and help you out. But see, it would be different if you would have said, yo, I want to start a school. Who going to help me? And then just sat back. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? It might not have never got started. You know what I'm saying? So I just look at what you're doing, man. It's a great thing, man. And you young, man.
I appreciate you so much, brother. Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate y'all so much.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you, brother. Okay, so what are the main things that you teach in your program, like to the young men?
Absolutely. Well, our main things, obviously, are the skill trades. So our main skill trades we teach is automotive repair, home improvement, like regular construction work. We also have had a few welding workshops. I do believe heavily in firearms training. All of my boys know how to shoot firearms. That's very important to me.
Right.
And I make sure all of them know how to shoot firearms. I did time in the Marine Corps, so I'm big on guns. I have a lot of them. So I make sure they know how to shoot every last one of them, from the big ones to the small ones, because that's something that we don't do in our communities. And we have like this little collective fear of guns. And I'm just like, that's absurd. Why do we, you know, advocate for gun control, but then you say the system is racist, but then you want the system to be the only people that got guns? That makes no sense to me. You know, and I'm just like, gun control is racist. I'm like, they do that to keep guns away from you. They ain't finna get rid of their guns. They just make sure you ain't got none. So I'm just like, we got to get rid of this collective fear of weapons. But yeah, that firearms training, construction, automotive repair, and also we're about to get into different sports. I do have an esports gaming team that my boys are a part of. So they can get paid to play video games. Also, they have a bowling team. And I also want to start a lacrosse team, professional billiards, as well as a professional ping pong. I mean, professional ping pong players make on average six figures. They make $140,000 a year. Just popping a little ping pong across the table. Exactly. So I'm just like, is everything we out here doing for fun? Somebody getting paid to do it. These are these are things we are trying to teach the boys, plus just basic warrior training. We want to teach them how to survive in the wilderness, how to, you know, kill an animal and skin it, you know, with your bare hands, all that stuff, you know, because we ain't gonna have tools if you get caught in the wilderness. So what you gonna do, you know? All of that stuff, how to make a fire, all of that. And that's gonna be one of their graduation requirements from our school. Many people, of course, will have an academic portion of it, but when they graduate from our school, whenever they turn 17 and 18, when they're about to graduate, they'll have an academic portion, but they'll also have basic warrior training they have to go through as a rite of passage. You will not graduate from our school if you cannot go out there with 20 of your brothers to the wilderness and survive for 7 days without me giving you nothing. That's what I believe a real rite of passage is, to become a man. You can go out there, find some food, find water, all that stuff. Of course, it will be heavily monitored and they'll have a guide with them, but he won't speak to them at all. He's just there to monitor. But they will be out there responsible for fending for themselves, how they're going to help each other out, how they're going to get in groups, how they're going to kill animals, how you going to eat, all of that stuff. That's important. And our men don't know how to do that nowadays. And I'm just looking at how white people prepare for stuff like that. These people got all types of plans. My mom said she was riding down to Florida one time. And she was like, she saw these white people out in the woods having some type of training they was doing out there with fire and torches and all that. And I was looking, I was watching this movie about what's the Boston, the Olympic Park bomber. And he had went to the, the wilderness or whatever, and he was out there hanging out with the white people. They didn't know he was bad at the time. These folks got all type of food stashes in the woods, and they got months worth of food stashed up. They know how to communicate with each other without cell phones and all that. I mean, they have all of this stuff. They are prepared for anything. And I'm just like, we are so far behind, because as soon as we get some money or anything, we just want to go have fun. All we want to do is go out and live our best life and blah, 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 blah. Ain't setting up nothing for our kids. Ain't ready for nothing to happen. Like when COVID happened, when nobody ready for that. Me and my family had emergency funds, so we was good. We was chilling or whatever. Right, but that stuff, we got to prepare for it, man. We got to have gold. We don't ever know when they're going to cut the dollar off, and we got to have some gold stashed. So like, just a lot of stuff we don't prepare for, but I'm trying to prepare our children for that, because sometimes I just believe, you know, adults are just too far gone, and that's just is what it is. And I want to make sure that our children, especially where I live, are able to benefit and learn these things early, so when they get older, they can teach their children the same things, and we can kind of kill that generational degenerate cycle.
Right.
Because it's almost like the more technology we have been, so we've been more dependent on technology as far as like the devices.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That we're getting away from the actual basic technology, which is being able to hunt, being able to start a fire, being able, you know what I'm saying? Things of that nature.
Absolutely.
So I definitely feel like, you know what I'm saying, as black people, we need to get back to that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. I think that's just really important. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. We from Virginia too, man. We from Virginia Beach, so we ain't too far from you, man.
Yeah, I'm in South Georgia. I'm way down now.
We originally from Virginia, man. Our uncles and stuff used to hunt rabbit and do all type of stuff.
Yeah,
but we just sat at the table though.
I only get out there, man. Gotta get out there. Exactly. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me ask you a question. So, I saw on your Instagram when you put your the bio on your Instagram, it says, you're a Christian conservative. So what does it mean for you to be a Christian and also a young black conservative? And does that have any affiliation with any party, a Republican or a Democrat?
Right. Absolutely not. Conservative is a word that just basically means your beliefs. And most people, black people, regardless of what the news tell them, they don't call themselves conservative because of what news tell you. But most black people are conservative. They want to conserve manhood. They want to conserve their families. They want to conserve traditional roles. They want to conserve their children remaining the gender that they want to be, you know. And I'm just like, we're all conservative, but we don't want to admit it because we, you know, assume is affiliated with Republican or racist white people, et cetera. I'm just like, nah, you're conservative because you don't even agree with half of this stuff that's going on right now in the, you know, the presidency and stuff. But, oh, it ain't Donald Trump. So, you know, it's just like, y'all. You know, but not that has nothing to do with a party or anything like that. It's just simply what I grew up on and what I believe in. That's all that is. I'm independent. Malcolm told you both parties biting you, but one biting you with a smile, the other one biting you with a growl. Either way, you're still being bitten.
Absolutely. But the media is trying to drive us away from being conservative because they're attaching conservative and Christian to white racism. So so when they're feeding you that concept every single day, as a black person, you want to be like, oh, I ain't no conservative, man. I ain't down with that.
Yep.
But then when
that's what they do to you.
Yeah, then when we got older, and you know what I'm saying, we got older in age or whatever, and we sat back and thought about it, we was like, yo, more of our personal beliefs align with conservatism than anything else.
It does. I say that all the time. I'm just like, look at Ashley. But they don't be want to be affiliated with white people or anything like that. You know, I'm just like, there's nothing wrong. Like, people, like, when I tell them, I'm like, you know, I got like a whole bunch of Trump supporters that love what I do, right? They're like, how is that? I'm like, bruh, the message is universal. We have the same issue with the government. They don't like government either. You don't like government either. I'm just like, you don't have to be at odds. I'm like, the media is doing that to you on purpose. Once we all figure out together that we got a common enemy, that's when everybody link up. White, black, Hispanic, and everybody like, nah.
Exactly.
Nah, y'all the enemy. We ain't got no problems with each other. Y'all the enemy. You know, that's what y'all doing. You know, and I came to discover that, man, because, you know, some of my kids, we got invited to like one or two Trump rallies and we went, but it was all up, you know. And I'm just like, they didn't ask us about no politics. They weren't trying to, you know, oh, you need to vote for Trump. No, it was never none of that. It was just, we like what y'all doing. How can we help? You know, it's just, that's all it was. And I'm just like, we never got called the whole time. The worst name I got called is by people of my own race. That just is what it is.
The media want us to like just dissociate everything that's with Trump supporters. Whether it's they want to attach Christianity to Trump supporters, so we can be like, oh man, we ain't no Christians. We ain't like them. That's the trick that the media try to play all the time.
Yep, absolutely. And most of the time, I just tell people, I'm like, honestly, people, you know, get so caught up on the religion thing. And I'm just like, look, don't nobody know who right. Ain't nobody died and came back and told us which religion was the one. So I'm just like, do what you do and be a good person. I don't care what religion you decide to be. That's between you and your God. That's what Malcolm said. It's between you and your God, what you decide to do at the crib. But while we got here, we got issues we need to, you know, deal with. You know, so I'm just like, whatever anybody wants to be, do you. You want to be a Buddhist? You want to worship Satan? Whatever, do you. As long as we can be good people out here and we ain't out here harming nobody, we okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's like when Dr. Boyce Watkins always say, be one. And that means, that means like, you know, we black first, because we can have other different sub, you know what I'm saying, subcategories that we put ourselves in.
Right.
But as long as our common goal is making black people, collectively, pushing the black agenda forward, you know what I'm saying, that we can all come together. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And we'll be right back. KRSM 98.9.
All I need in this world is a lot of sun, a million ones, a little wear for the lungs. Start providing for the homies through the whole summer. Stick together, ain't nobody that can put us under. Rise above, my enemies will never suffer. Throw them all on an island, they can hate each other. Fake with each other, a little drama, real karma. Coming back, I was supposed to, you gotta love it. A bigger brother that can make me tougher growing up.
Air Jordans, the ones in like every color. Nightmares gone, bring back who underneath us. Throw them flooded pieces, they ain't gotta take them off. I just need you to love me for my combinations. Expressing essence in a human body so amazing. Steady laughing, you thinking that we fall backwards. Fraud actors, we toast them all with tall glasses. Going back in my bag, we don't grind the same. They work less and want more, still cry and complain. I'm lifting up, my how the times have changed. I swear walking in my shoes is like flying a plane. All that I need, peace, power, love, light, water, sun, smiles and money, baby, it's all I need. Life is our paradise. I pray to God that it lasts forever, baby. It's all I need. A couple cubes and the H, too thankful, grateful for the moment, being mindful, this is just a prelude. Copping anything I want, putting into browsing. Give me the joys and sorrows by the 10,000s. To something greater than ourselves, men and women bowing. Looking for love, looking inside, know you found it. All I need is a couple pennies multiplied by the five in a pretty frame, no surprise. Flicking photos in my Air Max and sitting solo. My heart get warmer when the world be turning 10 below though. Act like you know though, flavored I be godly, good ones by me. Doing what works for you and keep your mind clean. Had the way spoke of this day, we all got free. Innocent and brave after drifting in a cage. With a life spinning right, you gon' need every spoke. With the Buddha that I'm on, you will breathe and never choke. With the one who designed the game, a real gift to be present and to find your way. I'm still in touch, fine, everything could change. I clear the path for the next and let them ride the wave. It's all that I need. Peace, power, love, light, water, sun, smiles and money, baby, it's all I need. Life is our paradise. I pray to God that it lasts forever, baby, it's all I need. Peace, power, love, light, water, sun, smiles and money, baby, it's all I need. Life is our paradise. I pray to God that it lasts forever, baby, it's all I need.
Welcome back to KRSM 98.9, the morning show. Let's argue. We come on every Monday morning, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., and we're going to get into the second half of our interview with King Randall.
Okay, so we saw you on the Roland Martin interview. Dude, hey, man, you know we got to ask him all day.
Yeah.
Right, so do you feel that he went on an attack on you like the almost the whole show, the whole interview?
Yeah, it was immediate. Right. I don't understand, you know, why he wanted to fight so bad. And of course, he had started attacking me on Twitter before, and I had no clue why. I was just like, "What you bothering me for? I don't even talk about politics."
Right.
What you bothering me for? But he's right. More conservative, and he's like, "Oh, these black Republicans are allowing this to happen." Exactly. I'm just like, "Bro, I'm not a Republican. I don't do the whole voting fight. That's not my fight. I work with kids. It's other people in my community that fight for voting. That's not what I do. I got other stuff to do." You know, and yep. He brought me on the show. Well, how is that not your fighting? What do you mean by do for self? And obviously he hadn't vetted me. I'm like, boy, you don't even know who I am. I'm like, right. Dude, like I've been working in my community since I was a teenager, dude. Like I got receipts. Like this ain't, well, how are you going to do for self? Well, I'm going to explain it. This is how me and some teenagers went and did it. So, you know, he couldn't really say nothing because I got the receipts to go with it. Like, dude, like, yep. Come on, man. But, and I try to keep it, you know, cordial. I wanted to keep it nice and I try to keep it respectful. But, you know, kind of just the little slick stuff, you know, him and his panel was saying after I got off and the little slick stuff on Twitter. I was like, nah, I'll bump you. All right. I'll put you in the enemy column then. I ain't got time. And right. The whole community, exactly. Ever since Dr. Boyce has, you know, made that video, like the whole community been dragging him like everywhere on Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, everywhere. Folks just been posting that video that I posted on my Instagram everywhere, man. Like, yep. It's been so overwhelming out of support. Like, I done got like 20,000 followers like in a day on Instagram. Like, it's just been crazy. So wild. All these emails, and I got my assistant, like, she's just like, it's too many emails. I'm just like, I don't know. go through them, you know, week by week.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you everywhere, man. It's crazy. It's crazy how fast that went, man. Like,
right. It's been a wild 2 days.
Did it seem like it just came out of nowhere to you?
Yes, like, so the night before, Dr. Boyce posted me on his Instagram, his Facebook, the night before one of my interviews I did with One America News Network. And he posted it, and, you know, it did a few numbers. People started following and stuff like that. But then Dr. Boyce woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and did like a podcast in the middle of the night on Roland. I mean, he ripped them a new one. They had like 60,000 views in like a day. Man. Like he ripped him open about that, you know, because he didn't recognize me or try to, you know, uplift or anything. So he ripped them a new one, and people started following me on Instagram. Like, it started going crazy. So what I did, I posted the one clip that I wanted everybody to see from me and Roland or whatever. And people took that and ran with it, man. That thing went everywhere on Instagram, dude. Man. I mean, I'm talking about, I don't know, but the celebrities and posted all on their page, everything. I'm just like, and I'm just like, people like, oh, he shut Roland down. I'm like, I wasn't even trying to. He just asked me a question. I felt like, oh, he destroyed him. He killed him. I was like, relax. And there's so many think pieces on YouTube. Like, I went and typed Roland Martin name in and then my name. And then, like, it's so many think pieces. Like, folk got all types of videos.
Right.
Everything. Because they are dragging him. They're like, what is wrong with you, Roland? They're just like,
right, exactly.
You talking about voter suppression and this man built the whole school? Like, what are you talking about?
And the thing is, he didn't even, like big you up. He wasn't even like, yo, congratulations.
He didn't even say good job or nothing. Like,
you would at least think you come up there and you say, amazing job. You doing an amazing job. You at least think you do something like that. Then you go in, but he ain't even.
Right.
But see, the thing is that for a guy like Roland Martin, who's a Democrat and works in the political forum, you.
Super Democrat.
Yeah, you are his worst nightmare. Because here's the thing, young, cool, black, conservative guys who are doing their own thing is a nightmare to the Democrats, because they know that if young black people see you doing your thing and you a Christian and you a conservative, it's gonna make them want to be the same thing. So
so you
have an opportunity to switch the trajectory of how the other young black people go, you know what I'm saying, and that's a
absolutely
fear to him.
Yes,
that's why he kept bringing it all. He always kept bringing it back to voting. It's like, yo, why are we talking about voting? It was almost like y'all were having two different conversations. You're talking about building a school, doing for, you know what I'm saying, doing for your community, and he wants you to be more concerned about.
And I wouldn't even disagree with him. Like, I agree with that. Okay, but he kept trying to find a fight. So what's next with the school? So I'm telling him about the school. So you're not giving any government funding with the school? I'm just like, dude, like, come on, man.
Totally,
like,
hey,
I just told you.
I agree. You said, I agree with you. Then he gonna find something else.
Yeah, like, he asking questions. Well, do you ride on roads? That's government. I'm just like, bro, stop trying to play with me, bro. You acting like a female, dude.
Right.
Acting like a whole woman. My uncle did a bad video. He deleted it. My uncle, like, ooh, that was bad. It was horrible. My uncle, like, started cussing his man out and everything. Like, it was so bad. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, man,
it was worse than Dr. Boyce's video. It was worse than his. If my uncle would have left that up and I would have posted it, oh, my God. He was... My uncle was livid by that interview, dude.
So when you say, you know what I'm saying, less government, we know what you mean.
He did too.
And Roland Martin knew what you meant too. He ain't no way in the world he could be old as he is and not know what you meant. But tell our listeners exactly what you mean, because Roland tried to make it seem like you were talking about you can do things in this country without having any government interference, and that's not what you were talking about.
I never said that. Absolutely. Right. So my thing is trying to make sure we don't depend solely on those government systems. We know that if you give somebody the power to feed you, they're giving them the power to starve you as well. My thing is, if we're going to use those government systems, let's use it as a step up. You know, like, okay, let me use these food stamps right quick, you know, to get myself together, kind of build my money up, get my job right and all that, and then, you know, graduate to another area. Let me get on the welfare for a little bit, you know, 2-3 years. Let me get myself together, boom, 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 and make it happen. I know folks out here that have lived their entire lives on food stamps, welfare, section, literally their entire existence has always been on government assistance, you know, and they get upset when they can't get their benefits, disability, all that stuff. I'm just like, look, we got to graduate from there, because the government can be at any time go to a war or whatever, like, hey, we need all these funds, we cutting food stamps, all the goodness, bye. And what y'all gonna do? Yep. What you gonna do? Yep. You gonna go protest about your food stamps? Nah, you gotta eat. Like, you know, so I'm just like, we don't even grow our own food and stuff. But my thing is just making sure, even with, you know, what we complain about. Malcolm X said something so powerful, and folks ain't wanna shout at. Malcolm said, he said, if white immigrants could come to this country years ago with nickels and dimes and no education, pull their little nickels and dimes with no education, develop stores, develop those stores into larger stores, turn those stores into an industry which creates job opportunities for whites. He said he feel like the black man who has a spending power of, at that time, $20 billion, right now $1.2 trillion. If we have a spending power of that much money, not setting up any businesses, not setting up any industry, not setting up any job opportunities for our own kind, he feels that the black man is not in a moral position to point his finger today at the white man and claim that he's discriminating against them for not giving them job in factories he didn't set up. I said, boy, Malcolm, you better stop your man. They ain't going to rebuild that. You ain't even did it. How you going to say the school system failing your kids and you won't even go build no school? The grocery store too high. Why you ain't supporting your black owned grocery store? Oh, we need a new bank. Why we ain't open our own bank? Why these churches ain't combined together and made up one big community bank? It'd be like 400 churches per city. Why all the churches ain't got one unified bank? Like, I be thinking about stuff like that. They be getting on my nerves, dude. Like, the churches here, you know, and I have a, you know, a love-hate relationship. You know, I'm a Christian and stuff. I love church, but I'm not going to not call you out. It's like Christians be having all the smoke for everybody except their pastor. And I be like, come on, dude. Come on, bro.
That's my pastor. Don't say nothing about my pastor.
That's how we are, man.
Yeah, man. Okay, so how can the public help you out with your school? Like what do you send? As a matter of fact, how did you get money to build a school? You don't have money to build a school. You said that you got the everybody's going to school for free, right? You said everybody's going to school for free.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's our goal, to make sure everybody goes to school for free. So the donations and stuff that we receive, the endowments that we'll be getting from different companies and stuff like that, this will ensure that our children are able to attend the school for free. That's my biggest thing. I don't want to, you know, have to charge parents anything. The only thing they have to do that's mandatory for their children to come to the school is come to the different workshops and classes that we'll have for the parents, because they have things that they have to learn as well. But most of our funding has come via donation, via people, you know, sending checks to our nonprofit, etc. So that's kind of how we've been funding everything. And, you know, ever since people have been finding out about us, that's how we've been, you know, able to purchase our school. You know, people believing in what we're doing, plus the work I've been doing behind the scenes, you know, cutting hair, saving money, painting houses, whatever, you know, we made it happen. So we were finally able to save up enough money to get that school, and we made it happen, man.
Not trying to put you too far in the future, but do you envision having more than one school, and be spreading this around the country?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Of course, we're going to start in our local community first. We're going to make sure we're good and set here, and then we're going to expand from, you know, city to city, then state to state, you know, eventually. I don't know how fast that's going to move, but I think it may move fast, considering what we'll be teaching and how much traction that we have. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. I got one last question for you, brother. Who is your favorite rapper?
Travis Scott, Jock Webster II.
Because that is crazy. And Travis Scott from Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Houston,
okay.
I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about Out? Did you like Outkast, right? You know,
I'm a 3000 fan, man. That's the greatest rapper to ever say anything. You know, you know how you could be considered the GOAT and you ain't never released a single? That boy bad. That boy bad. Ain't nobody seen that boy, man. But yeah, my favorite rapper is Travis Scott, man. I definitely plan to meet him soon. I'm gonna keep tagging him in my stuff, keep sending it to him, and he's gonna see it one day. So yeah, that's my favorite rapper. I just love, you know, his energy, you know, behind the scenes, a good family man. He loves his family. He's a hardcore Christian. You know, those are things I love, you know, about him. He's a good person. He interacts with his fans. He loves children. He's just an actual good person, you know, so I love it.
Hey, man, brother, we appreciate you. We appreciate you so much for coming on and good luck moving forward, man. We're gonna tag you and all this stuff, man. But we, stay strong, man. And we behind you. We behind you.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I appreciate y'all, brother. Yeah. Absolutely. It warms my heart to have so much support, you know, from so many black men and black people in general. It's just beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and we up in Minnesota. So this show is up as it runs in Minneapolis. But, you know, as a podcast, we put it everywhere. So
I ain't been up there yet. I need to fly up there.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, just in the summer, though, because
the winter is crazy. So just make sure you come in the summer.
I went to Colorado for December, dude, where it was like 10 inches of snow, but I loved it because I never see snow. I never see snow where I live. So I don't care how much snow it be. I'd be like, yay, snow!
that's how we was when we first came up here. Now we like, Lord have mercy.
Bruh, it's snowing again.
Hey, man, yeah. I go out there with that shovel in the driveway, stay out there for about 2 hours. Good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Brother, we appreciate you. Thanks again.
Yeah. Also, do you have a website or somewhere that we can put up for donations or something everybody can send to you? Yeah.
Absolutely. Our website is thexforboys.org. That's thexforboys.org. You can go there, see all of our pictures, videos. You can go there to donate, reach out to me, etc. You can go to the website and everything's there for you. Where to follow me on social media, everything. That's thexforboys.org. That's thexforboys.org.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all, man. Yep, absolutely. Appreciate Let me know if y'all need anything.
All right.
I will, brother. Take it easy.
All right. Peace out.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our interview with King Randall. This is the morning show, Let's Argue. We come on KRSM every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. We're going to have some great interviews coming up in the near future. So just make sure you continue to listen up and to support. Thank you. And we'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Stretch my hands to you. Life like this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like likes. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight bike. Pressing on the gas, supernova for a night light. Screaming at my dad and he told me it ain't Christ-like. But nobody never tell you when you're being like Christ. Only ever seeing me, only when they need me. Like if Tyler Perry made a movie for BT. Searching for a deity, now you wanna see it free. Now you wanna see if we let you see it three apiece. Tell me what your life like, turn it down a bright light. Driving with my dad and he told me it ain't Christ-like. I'm just trying to find, I've been looking for a new way. I'm just really trying not to really do the fool way. I don't have a cool way, being on my best though. Lock up on a text though, nothing else next though. Not another word, let a picture or a decimal. Wrestling with God, I don't really wanna rest so. Man, it's really life-like, everything in my life. Arguing with my dad and he said it ain't Christ-like. Man. You know it's like somebody only close who could get you like off your. I be on my. I woke up this morning, I said my prayers, I'm all doing good. I try to talk to my dad, get him some advice. He starts spazzing on me. I start spazzing back. He said, they ain't Christ-like. I said, ah! Don't ask my neighbor.
understand. You think I'm changing.
Don't ask my neighbor.
Don't ask my neighbor.
Don't ask
never
my
ask friends.
Hang
around.
Don't be afraid.
Never.
Come to me.
Come on.
Don't ask my neighbor.
Oh.
Come to me.
Come on. Come on.
Indiana Jones meets Star Wars, attack of clones, rescue the girl and save the day. Arthritis in my flesh and bones, ain't as young as I was. Riot gear like I'm the fuzz. Feel I don't do enough for God, but then again, whoever does. Used to beat myself up, pity party guest list. Special invitation to Miss Drama and Miss Restless. And here go Mr. Know-It-All, I swear he's so opinionated. Thanks the world revolves around him, so the sun's eliminated. Gangster leans on axis, Miss Drama's such an actress. Outcast is an understatement, I'm blackballed from the blacklist. So I guess I'm Mr. War with me, or I guess you just as low as me. Call this self-loathing complaint rock, well I guess I'll call it poetry. I call it spirit painting, I call it soul release. I give the silent treatment to my conversation piece, but not for long though. I'm Mr. Wishy-Washy, or you Mr. Backstab? Wait till I tell my posse, that's Mr. GP, that's Mr. Sid Linus, that's Mr. Steve O'Real. Watch how we kill with kindness, and that's the medication, but it upsets the nation. Sid Linus did the score, and I provide the narration to the soundtrack of my life. American Pie must have stole the slice. I'm in court red-handed, what's the asking price? Cause I just hit the wall like tumbling dice. I've been paying for years, and it wants to fight. Paying for years. And it wants to fight. It's been paying for years, but it wants to fight. Paying for years, but it wants to fight. To the soundtrack of my life, American Pie must have stole this life. Cause I just hit the wall like tumbling dice. Poor red handed was the asking price. It's been paying for years, but it wants to fight. Paying for years, but it wants to fight. Paying for years, but it wants to fight. It's been paying for years, but it wants to fight. To the soundtrack of my life, American Pie must have stole this life. Hit the wall like tumbling dice. Poor red handed was the asking price. It's been paying for years, but it wants to fight. Paying for years, but it wants to fight. It's been paying for years, but it wants to fight. Paying for years, but it wants to fight. won't suffice. Far from Mr. Hold My Tongue, but further from Mr. Front Page. You can find me in the classifieds, discreet up in my old age. Still fighting some old battles, some old dogs learn new tricks. But it's still the same results though, making old prints with new kicks. My focus is the problem here, it's like I'm Mr. ADD. They say I need professional help, but that just ain't my cup of tea. So should I switch my drink of choice, submit to God, heaven rejoice. Take the training wheels off God, gather my squad and lift my voice to the soundtrack of my life. American pop must have stole the slice, cause I just hit the wall like tumbling dice. Quote red-handed, what's the asking price? Been paying for years and it won't suffice. Paying for years and it won't suffice. Been paying for years and it won't suffice. Paying for years but it won't suffice to the soundtrack of my life. American pop must have stole the slice, hit the wall like tumbling dice. Quote red-handed, what's the asking price? Been paying for years but it won't suffice. Paying for years and it won't suffice.
Now, this is an ancient Roman gambling game. There's rumors that it was played by centurions for Christ's garments at his crucifixion. I'm not sure how true that rumor is, but the game is played with three dice.